Peace, God.
Peace to the God.
How you, God?
I'm studying 120 right now. Call me back at the God hour.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
All right, brother. What's up?
And we're back. Hey, Dylan Tone.
Welcome back east. Welcome to Nueva York. How's your time been here?
It's been cold, but I'm having fun. It's been good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the cold was like got to be one of the top five reasons why you left here in the first place.
That's for sure. But the great people keep bringing me back, so it's always good and looking forward to being back in the sunshine tomorrow.
So what was it like? God, I mean, let's kind of just go way back. First off, thanks for being on. This is a long time coming. We've been talking about you coming on the pod, on the show, blessing us with your presence. And I really want to know what the California experience was like in the beginning of the pandemic and just everything that happened with that and what's still going on. Because New York is strict, but California, like, takes the cake on just the wackiness of it all. But yeah, just kind of like take us back to the beginning there.
Definitely. And honored to be here. We've been talking about this for a while. Yeah. I've been listening and loving what you're doing, so definitely excited to finally sit down in person and make it happen.
Yeah, this is a treat.
Yes,
a treat,
sure,
right here
for,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
But California's crazy. I mean, everything going on with this recall is stemming from what was happening at that time last year. But it wasn't just closing businesses. It was closing things that really came near and dear to us, hiking trails,
right,
parks, things like the beaches.
To
say that you're closing a beach, really starting to infringe on liberties with little ability to back it up with any science or reasoning behind it.
Correct.
Really starts to rub me the wrong way. And I think you saw people act accordingly, continuing to do the things that they love and kind of saying, we don't find this to be just, so.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're back at the beach, right? You were living at the beach, then you were, when the pandemic started, you're more inland. You were in Culver City, correct?
I was in Culver City, absolutely. Yeah.
But you would still freak with the beach quite a bit.
Oh, it's 20 minutes. Not bad,
yeah,
at all.
Yeah. Well, no traffic, 20 minutes. Yeah.
Hour
and 20 with traffic.
It was 15 a year ago when there was zero traffic, but now we're back to normal.
Well, that was the weirdest thing, I think. I mean, there's countless weird things we saw during the pandemic, but seeing the overhead shot of the 405, I guess last April, like this time last year, was one of the creepiest, weirdest things I've ever seen. Like just no traffic in the busiest traffic epicenter of like the world, practically. I mean,
it was unbelievable, and it was really fun because everybody was scared to be in their houses, and and if you were getting out to these trails, people were scared that they were also closed. So you were having places that were once 4 hours away on the other side of LA,
right,
that were now an hour and 45 minutes away and had nobody on the trail. So you had these beautiful places to yourself. So
yeah, so it was obviously nice for you in a way.
Opportunities, if you're willing to get out there, we enjoy.
So in a way, the pandemic's been kind of a little bit of a blessing because it allowed you to kind of like just live your life a little bit more and, you know, don't tread on me, so to speak, you know, just like I got the trails to myself. I got the beaches. Well, you probably didn't have the beaches to yourself, but yeah, I mean, did you definitely notice less people, or was it more people on the trails? Cause people were trying to figure out things to do and what was that like?
I've kind of seen a wave here because it was completely dead in that last March, April, May. People weren't out and,
okay,
and everything was dead and kind of had these places to ourselves. And then as the weather got nicer, even in LA, we have a little bit of seasons.
Yeah.
And people started to venture outside, seeing that this was going to be a long-lasting battle that we had here.
Yeah.
And kind of feeling cooped up. And now I feel that a lot of these places are more crowded than they've ever been.
Right.
Because people don't have the opportunity to fly to Europe right now or to really go to a lot of the places that they usually do. They've found how easy it can be and how rewarding it can be to drive and road trip to places that are basically in their backyard. So
yeah,
I think it's overall a good thing, but I'd prefer for them not to be there when I'm there. So you know how it goes.
Yeah. And to this day, it's like, you know, I remember in the beginning of the pandemic, basically like a year ago, you know, I'm a runner. I was out for a run and, you know, I'm running down the street that I live off. A lot of people frequent, walk, run, you know, bike, the whole thing. And I got to be like 100, 200 feet from this woman who's like kind of like walking towards me, probably even farther than that. And she's got a mask, but it's around her neck. And she sees me and I don't have a mask when I'm running. I make sure to, you know, social distance the whole thing, run way around people. And she's yelling at me, "Where's your mask? Where's your mask?" And I just kind of gave her one of these, just like one of these shrugs. Like, I don't know what to tell you, lady. Like, you know, and it was the beginning, I guess, you know, people were confused. But my whole argument is like, you're right. There's no proof that this thing is contracted outside, especially in the sun where you're getting vitamin D, which fights off this virus. So to close the beaches, close the trails, I get it in the beginning because they were just trying to, the dogs joining the podcast.
Excited to be here.
Yeah. So I get that in like the beginning and, you know, but like how long did that last for? Eventually, you know.
I want to say July, August. So it was a couple of month thing. And then they were like, all right, this is tough to enforce. It's stupid to enforce.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was reading an article not too long ago that 9 in 10 COVID deaths or severe cases had something to do with a vitamin D deficiency.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Of course, you can take some pills if you want to, or you can kind of go outside. And you don't need to. The beautiful thing about being outside is you don't have to be on top of each other or just,
right,
within 6 feet of each other. So I think it's a really good answer for a lot of people in a lot of ways,
well,
too.
Well, it's just a shame that that's not what the media was preaching. They were telling you need to stay in your home. And not go anywhere, where being outside, vitamin D, exercising, eating right, drinking right was a good way to kind of just like fight this thing off, having a good immune system. But God, you know, they can't tell people that. They want you to just, yeah, be,
if you're outside, you scared don't see for your their life. Ads. So
yeah, exactly.
So you need to be scared and inside.
Yeah, exactly. And, yep, exactly. You nailed it.
When
nailed,
you don't have service, you can't even watch on your phone.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, you nailed it there. So COVID hits, you're like, shit, what's going to happen? Job, you know, obviously you worked at a, you know, a gym and, you know, listen, same thing happened to me. You know, you go on, I don't know if you were like furloughed or it was just kind of like a, you know, the gym was closed, so you just couldn't work. I mean, that was basically it, right? So you decided to get the fuck out and just go for a trip. So talk about that a little bit.
Absolutely, absolutely. Do have to say that Equinox took really good care of its people.
That's good.
Those first 3 months, they had us on salary still and took care of us. So I was really, really surprised and really impressed by their actions during that time. I do have to say that now that I'm no longer with them as well. But yeah, reopened a second time. Members had to have masks and gloves on.
Sure.
And once it was a gloves thing, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, the gloves thing. Yeah.
Reclosed and really didn't see it opening again anytime soon once you closed the second time.
Right.
So so packed up and started heading up the coast north and was meeting my brother and Mike Green, actually, our buddy from college.
Shouts to them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In Montana. About 10 days later.
Yeah.
So rather than flying out to meet them like the original plan, I ended up driving up the coast and doing a big loop and then rounding it out on the back end.
Yeah. So how many states did you go to?
Went to 15 states.
Jesus.
Absolutely.
Pretty much the whole West Coast and Mountain West. You hit it all.
Yeah. Up the coast to Washington, across to Montana, down to Colorado, and then back over to California.
Yeah, and it was just hiking, hot springs, and I mean, if you had to guess top of your head, how many hot springs did you hit?
I think it was 12 or 13 hot springs, 15 national parks, and
Experience of a lifetime.
This country is amazing.
It is.
And coming from New York, where we've always enjoyed the mountains and and been impressed by the mountains around us, it is wild to go to some of these places and just see 10, 12, 14,000 feet mountains, one after the next, when we grew up climbing 1,000, 2,000 feet mountains and being blown away. So it's the grandeur of the West Coast and particularly the Pacific Northwest really, really blew me away.
Yeah. Well, that's what, I mean, I love that. I love the West Coast and I love the Northeast because of the mountains. You know, I go down to like the South or something, or if you go to like the Midwest, it's just so flat. And I just, I can't do it. Like, I need mountains. I don't need to, like, actually be in them, but just seeing them is just something that I think is, I think people are like that with water, too. They don't need to be in the water, per se, but just seeing the water.
Absolutely.
It's nice. But seeing water, seeing mountains is great. You got to do all of that and just so many experiences. And just, you got out of the craziness, which is great. I think that's one of the reasons you kind of left New York was just like, you know, going back, way back to the Who Are You days, you know, you had to work in Midtown Manhattan, like craziness, right? 34th Street, isn't that where you had to go?
And
you
were
like,
I did that for one day,
and you were like, F this.
two buses and a subway later, yeah. And I quit over the phone and never made it to the store.
Now, you've lived in some highly populated areas of Los Angeles, but it's a little different. I mean, the aesthetics of LA are definitely, I think, a lot better suited for you than New York City, for sure. Like, I moved out of the city years ago. I was done with it. I needed more nature and mountains and stuff like that. And I think we've been blessed with where we grew up, Rockland County, right? Where you could drive 15, 20 minutes that way and you're in New York City if you want that. But you can also go 15, 20 minutes the other way and you're on the Appalachian Trail, which is very unique. It's a very unique place to grow up in. And I think you always chose to go the other way, the Appalachian Trail, and now in California and the West Coast, I mean, you just get, you know, unlimited amounts of all that. So
now it's the Pacific Crest Trail, but
Pacific Crest Trail.
But I've been blessed because have had those options across the board.
Yeah,
and I mean, now in LA, being surrounded by not only the mountains in every direction, but but the oceans, the beach, and to be able to add on some hot springs and things that we didn't have back east is really cool.
Right. So now flash forward to today. We're a year into this thing. What has California done? I know recently they've allowed some fans back into sporting events. I know concerts aren't really, I mean, they're not really even going on here in New York. But, I mean, is it still pretty strict? Obviously, there's a mask mandate. Same thing in New York. Most states there is. But like, is there still some things that are just like, what the fuck are we doing here? Like, why is it still like this? Or does it seem like it's getting back to normal a little bit? I mean, we're not going to be back to normal for a while, but
I'd say it's definitely a combo of both. I think for a while we're going to see things where we scratch our heads a little bit and we're like, is this really going on or is this really still going on? And, that's for better or for worse, something that's going to be there, I think, for a minute.
Yeah.
But I think that places really are starting to reopen. I mean, I'm back at Equinox as a member now.
Yeah.
And they've already gone from 10 to 25% capacity in the month, let's call it, that I've been there. So that's pretty cool as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just it's so crazy. Remember, I mean, for months we like didn't have any sports. Remember that? Like we had the Jordan Last Dance 10-part series, or was it 10 parts? No, I think it was 8 parts. I forget. How many, did you watch that? The ESPN, the Michael Jordan?
I watched the first 7 and then I got out of it. So it was unbelievable. 10 parts, yeah. It was 10.
I think it was 2 hours for like 5 weeks or something like that, right? I think it was
two parts.
Yeah. But like that was the only sports we had for months. And then I think now we're like, I think we're starting. I mean, the NFL season seemed fairly normal. Obviously, we had the bubble NBA season. But now the NBA season seems fairly normal. I mean, you miss guys here and there for health and safety protocols, as they call it. Obviously, hockey, they had kind of like a delayed, slow start. But I think things are fairly normal now.
Definitely getting back to normal. I mean, I was at the Coliseum on Thursday.
Yeah, talk about that a little bit.
And, I mean, right now, being at 10% capacity, it's it's bizarre.
Yeah.
It's definitely bizarre. Buildings that are known for being packed out and louder than any other
Especially
building.
Especially Nassau
Coliseum. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then the whole mask mandate as well.
Yeah.
So you're muffled even when you are.
You have a beer, you got to drop the I would have a beer probably the entire time just so I didn't have to wear the mask. I could just sip on that.
Well, unfortunately, no beers yet, which...
oh, really?
Yeah, it's all types of hurdles. Oh, they've actually got... It's pretty cool. They've got a food truck set up outside.
Oh, that's cool.
That are, like... Stinctioned off, so only people that aren't at the game can get them.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's tough right now with everything going on at the 10%.
Yeah. Yeah. So talk about that a little bit, kind of just background a little bit, what you do for the Islanders.
Yeah.
And what that experience has been like during the weirdest time of our lives.
Absolutely. I've been blessed to come on with my favorite team from growing up.
Yeah.
While also being 3,000 miles away in Los Angeles.
Yes.
Doing it remotely, which is an opportunity that I don't think was ever really considered as realistic before the pandemic.
Right.
So when you talk about creating opportunities out of this, it definitely has shifted the world in many ways. And,
yes.
And if you can turn little positives, then that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But we have a new arena coming up. This fall for
UAB,
the 21,
right?
UBS Arena.
Oh, UBS.
absolutely, no worries.
Yeah, yeah. UAB. I don't know what I was thinking there. Go on.
and just a really exciting time to be an Islanders fan and to be an Islanders employee. Between the team crushing it on the ice,
sure.
And then this building is going to be next level. Kind of seeing the attention to detail of everything that we loved at the Coliseum being put into action so that people can't say, oh, we missed the old barn,
right?
While also fixing all the things that were annoying, like it not being built big enough and not being playoff ready and there not being enough bathrooms. Those are realistic gripes for our fans to be disgruntled about. So,
yeah. So
being able to overcome the BS with the Barclays and the Lighthouse and everything that's happened over the last 20 years and say, here's a beautiful new home. And we've been listening to everything you've been saying, good and bad, over the years. And we believe that this is going to be next level, that you're going to come in and be wowed and find it hard to have something bad to say about your experience there.
It's amazing. I mean, the ownership group, they get it. I think for a long time, maybe the ownership group didn't get it. I mean, you got to think, what would you say? 80% of the fan base are Long Islanders? I mean, it's Long Island's team, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Would you say 80%?
Without having any data in front of me,
yeah, just off the top of your head.
I'd say that's accurate, but it's definitely Long Islanders have a far reach. So I talk to fans that are coming down from Boston, fans that are stuck overseas right now that are like, if I can get back to New York in time, I'm in.
Right.
But if not, you've got our support from over here. So it's really cool seeing the reach.
Yeah.
And I did see a stat recently that if you just take Long Island as a market, it's the fifth biggest market in the country.
Wow.
So when you're talking about being surrounded by teams in New Jersey and New York City on either side of you, and then looking at it in that type of perspective, not only for Islanders hockey and a huge fan base, but having the opportunity to see world-class concerts that are going to be coming right to the island like that too is awesome.
That's an amazing stat. I mean, I always knew that Long Island was like, obviously, it's like its own state, right? I mean, for a while, Long Island government, they kind of wanted to secede from New York State and be their own state, and they could. I mean, there's got to be 3 to 4 million people just in Nassau and Suffolk County alone, and I might be way off on that number. There could be even more than that, and that's more than, I don't know, probably half the states in the... Maybe not half the states in the country, but it's definitely more than like a Wyoming or Idaho. You know, a lot of those states. So it could be its like own state. So that's a wild stat. Fifth largest... you said sports market or just metropolitan? What would you say?
Market for a sports team.
So they can hold down a sports team.
Yeah, which is a, and not having a basketball team, a football team.
Right.
And also having such a... a strong sense of pride for being on Long Island.
Yeah.
It definitely goes a long way.
Yeah.
So it's fun to have something to be proud of, and the team's crushing it. Outworking its neighbors in town here recently. So it's fun.
Yeah, Strong Island, man. That's a perfect location. I mean, it's right where the cross county kind of, hey, there's Pops. How you doing? But it's right where the, you know, Cross Island meets sort of like the southern state. So it's a perfect location. The Belmont racetrack's right there. Obviously, I think Nikki was saying that there's going to be a bunch of shopping that's going to go there.
Retail Village,
yes.
A beautiful hotel coming in a couple of years.
Yeah, the whole thing.
But also new station in Elmont for the Long Island Railroad, so
perfect.
People can come right from Brooklyn if it was convenient for the Barclays, even
right.
That was a disaster.
Well, that was, yeah.
Everything
I mean,
like that, it makes it easy for people to come anywhere in the area and see
I
their
never
team.
Understood Barclays and Brooklyn, because if you ask most Long Islanders, they're like, hell no, I'm not leaving the island. I'm not, and let alone going to Brooklyn. Brooklyn is one of those places. I used to live in Astoria in Queens, where it's just a pain in the ass to go to get to, by train, by car. It's just, it's tough. It's like far from everything. So it just kind of, yeah, it's tough. And I think, again, ownership nailed it. They're in the perfect location, right now. So things are looking way up for the franchise, and that's great. It's I can't wait to check it out. Eventually, it's going to be pretty state of the art, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly rubbed people the wrong way, having to go off the island, go to a building that wasn't theirs, not made for hockey, so
sightlines
weren't there, scoreboard in the way, just things that rubbed people the wrong way, but it did the one purpose, which was to keep our boys on the island and not move to Canada and not
Whoa.
Move to Seattle or across the country.
For people that don't know, Brooklyn is on the landmass known as Long Island. Brooklyn and Queens, you couldn't say that they're Long Island. It's a completely different ball game. I mean, it's New York City, but it's on the same landmass, so that's good at least, you know. It could be worse. It could be like the Jets and the Giants, who don't even freaking play in New York. They play in New Jersey, which has got to be a mind fuck for a lot of people who aren't from the area. We grew up with it, but like, I got to think, if you're from like, you know, Ohio or Nebraska, you're like, what? They play where? Like,
this is all marketing? Yeah. It's lies?
Lies! Yeah. You know, it's just kind of crazy, so... yeah,
oh, the phone's ringing off the hook. We're live right now.
Yeah, a lot going on here at the Pizzatello residence. Let's get into your two boys. Let's go away from hockey. Let's talk about your two peoples. For those that don't know, you're not really a fan of other teams. You're a fan of players.
I am.
So first, let's talk about your boy Tom. As we're podcasting here, you're wearing your Brady 12. Is that a TB12 official apparel right there?
Oh, you know it is. Have to support my boy.
He
took a smaller contract for me, so I'm supporting this way to make up for it.
There
yes,
you
yes.
go. So Tom Brady obviously defies the laws of everything. 43, 44 years old.
43, going on 44, absolutely.
Top of his game. Won another Super Bowl with a new team. Tampa Bay brought Gronk. Probably going to bring Jules over. He's just unbelievable. I used to hate him as a Jets fan, but last few years, after the Falcons game, the Falcons Super Bowl, the 28-3 comeback, I just had to like bow down at that point. I'm like, I'm done hating. This is just like the most unbelievable person ever, athlete ever. And yeah, I mean, how long do you see him going for? Yeah, just talk about your crush, Tom Brady.
Yeah, man.
Tommy.
Yeah, man.
You'll go wherever he goes. You were a Pats fan, now you're a Bucks fan.
Anywhere he goes, and it's really unbelievable. The guy, I think the biggest thing just, that comes to mind is he just inspires me and many people with...
yeah, absolutely.
And not to make it like a sob story, because the guy is one of the most famous athletes in the world. He's
right.
married to Giselle. But overcoming the BS with... The scandals and all that, the sixth round 199 pick, the whole thing,
yep.
to just see him eye on the prize, confidence in himself and his ability and his teammates, and to work his ass off every day with that goal in mind, and to be able to evolve over his career,
yeah,
from being a gunslinger back in 2007 to what he's doing now, is really cool.
Yeah,
and to be able to inspire and really rally the people around you to have that singular focus, and because these are grown men making a lot of money, and this is some pretty white boy that comes in, and with everything going on, for him to be able to get these locker rooms of 53 guys or whatever it is to all buy into his message, and for him to find it in himself to get out of bed every day and do it when he's waking up next to Giselle and they have too much money, and
he doesn't need
and he doesn't have to do anything ever again. It's it's really cool to see.
Yeah,
and then
great success.
And then to execute, not just to be out there, but to execute. Like,
yeah,
even myself, who I love this fucking man. It's it's unbelievable the things he does. But going into the Chiefs Super Bowl game, I didn't bet big. I was scared. I was like, at some point he has to crumble, and it's not just him versus Mahomes. It's team game. Bucks defense played amazing.
Oh, yeah.
But for him to be able to continue to step up and do things like that, when it's hard to say that he's the best quarterback in the world right now at age 43, when you see Mahomes diving to the side and some of the passes that even guys like Aaron Rodgers, who I don't have that much respect for, are able to make.
Russell Wilson.
But it's a team sport that all that matters is championships, and to just be able to figure it out without Belichick and
he's running out of fingers.
Yeah,
he's running out of fingers. Yeah,
it's amazing. And he hasn't listened to Giselle yet. I think he does it until he can't physically do it.
I think 50. I think that's the magic number he's going for.
I mean, that would be unreal. The sad thing about this is it means that we're going to see our boy in a hump on the field, most likely. He's either going to be a shell of himself throwing picks and getting hit, or he's going to take a terrible shot that we have to watch him get carted off and it be the end.
Yeah.
And I think that he is somewhat comfortable with that. I mean, he does the pliability and all this stuff and Alex Guerrero and being in the best shape possible to be out there every day. Yeah. But it's football. Like at some point, somebody's going to get their shot, and I think he has to be comfortable with that if that's what he's going to continue doing.
Absolutely.
But win two more rings, and then we can talk about that.
I think two things he's going for is 10 Super Bowl rings. I think that's probably a number that sticks in his head, and play till age 50, which is 7 more years or 6 more years, whatever seasons. Oh, and till the wheels fall off, man. He's an unbelievable just inspiration, really, because a lot of times we always say like, oh, I'm too old for that, and oh, time's running out. Well, no, he said fuck that. He's like, I'm living till I'm 150. I don't care. He found, I'm not going to drink coffee. I'm not going to eat strawberries. I'm not going to drink alcohol except for that one time after the Super Bowl falling over. But, he got to treat himself. So it's amazing, man. It really is something to behold, something to watch. And I love the guy. I love watching him. Well, let's pivot to your other lover boy, LeBron James, who is still hurt. This is like the longest he's been out, I feel like, ever, right? And how many seasons is he in now? What is it, 2003 he came in? So this is his 18th season?
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, he had that stretch of injuries with the first year in L.A.
Okay, that kind of
derailed their playoff chances there. It kills me right now because the guy was about to win his fifth MVP, and he's been on this drought, and I think he's deserved so many, and had to deal with what comes with winning so many and making greatness look easy. So I do feel bad for him in that regard, that he's always been available and then he's about to finally grab an MVP, and I don't see it happening
well,
at this point.
I think we've talked about this. He can win the MVP every year, or he should win the MVP every year, but they're not going to just give it to LeBron James every year. But he was clearly on his way. I mean, he's our age. He's 36, and he's just... It hasn't seemed like he's slowed down.
Still 35 over here.
Sorry. But it doesn't seem like he's slowing down anytime soon. But who knows? Maybe the injuries last 2 out of 3 years. Maybe he is, father time finally is kind of coming towards him. But he did win the bubble last year. He was the bubble champion. Brought a chip to the Lakers. I think he'll win another one. I think his ultimate goal is to play with his son, Bronny. I don't know how good Bronny is, if he is an NBA prospect, but I think that's when LeBron's like, all right, my final season is going to be playing with my son, and then I'm going to, walk into the, Hall of Fame and go down as, definitely the top two. You can make the debate all day who's the greatest, him or Jordan. He's definitely top two, greatest ever. Probably the greatest all-around player ever, I think. But yeah.
I mean, he's earned the right to continue playing and to go out how he wants to.
Yeah.
But I see a very similar thing that I see in Brady in him. And
yes,
he has that fire, maybe not to the quite exact same extent, but he has that fire.
He's got the physical ability.
And he's putting in the resources to take care of his body.
Millions.
Which when your body is already, you have those physical gifts and you're willing to put in the time, the money, and the energy to keep it going and at its best, you're giving yourself the best chance to be out there for your team, which it's frustrating when things like this happen because we expect him to be out there. And anything can happen. But I do agree that his goal is to be out there with Bronny. His game is going to be up to what his ego allows, but he can continue to move down into the paint, not put wear and tear on his body quite as much with running the point and things like that. And I think he could average a triple double down there if he wanted to, even into his 40s. So
absolutely,
it's going to be interesting to see injuries allowing. Because I see him taking care of himself and physically being able to be out there for a long time. So seeing if he actually wants to do it. But I'm sure that if he could get to that 6 or that 7 rings, that's something that's more than in the back of his mind.
I think, in
that legacy battle you're talking about with MJ here.
You just said it. Yeah, the title thing too, which he's got 4 now.
4.
So he needs 3 more. It's going to be tough. If him and AD come back and they're at full strength this season, they're still the team to beat. Obviously, there's the Nets, the Sixers, the Bucks, the Clippers, the Suns, Nuggets. Those are, the top teams. Oh, the Jazz. I'm missing the Jazz there. But if those two guys are at full strength, LeBron and AD, I find it tough. And they're resting him now, so they're going to be ready. So it's going to be very interesting.
You're the champion, so you have to be the team to beat in that position. And
yeah.
I mean, legacy-wise, when we always go back to legacy, that's huge. When all of a sudden you're at 5 rings, about to go for a 3-peat, which is something that MJ people always talk about. That he wasn't able to do in Miami, and certainly not in Cleveland. So it's interesting because then all of a sudden you're going for 6, and you have those.
Right.
Four years left or whatever. So we'll see what happens. One at a time. But let's get him back on the court and
let's see what happens. See what he's got. Yeah, he needs to get back on the court because the tweeting has been really bad. And his political and social takes are cringeworthy. That's a whole nother thing to talk about. But our former president just called him out recently. He's a great athlete, but just kind of stay in your lane, so to speak. It's a bit much.
He's earned the right to be able to give his 2 cents on any topic he really wants to.
Sure,
But at the same time, he's a human being that makes snap judgments and that makes mistakes. And when somebody like you or me makes a snap judgment to a news story and says, oh, I really believe this or I really believe that.
Right.
It doesn't have that much of an impact when it's heard by 4, 5, 100 of our friends and family.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, that's a little crazy to say. But when you make knee-jerk reactions to things without the full story, especially when you are calling one other human being out, and it can be debated how big of a mistake they made and whether that's criminal and what they saw that led them to make those decisions. All those things are a valid conversation and argument to have.
Yeah.
Because they should be held accountable.
Sure.
However, for him to take his platform and to rush to judgment and to put another human being at risk because of his snap judgment, I think is a tough road to go down, and he's allowed as a human being to make mistakes, but I think he needs to also remember when you're using that strong voice that you have, it is being heard and rebounding and has repercussions.
Yeah, that's well said. He's a role model. He's got young people, all different shapes and sizes, colors, creeds, whatever, that look up to him, and yeah, he needs to just chill out. And he did delete the tweet. You know, I think he owned up to it, but I mean, he's one of the most popular faces in the world, you know, so he needs to just kind of tread lightly sometimes with what he says, and just, yeah, look at the bigger story.
Well, in a society where we're quick to cancel people, and I think him himself has come out when people have made mistakes, either in the racial game or socially or whatever it may be, and he's been quick to say, don't associate with this or don't associate with that because of this. So he has to be careful, conversely, isolating people when you say things like that. So it definitely goes both ways.
Yeah. So, well said. Well said, brother man. I think we got to everything I kind of wanted to get to. Is there anything you wanted to say? Anything you wanted to plug? Again, thanks for doing this. This was fun.
Yeah.
This was good. Finally got to it.
This has been awesome. We've literally been talking about it forever. We've come this close before, and I'm excited for the next one.
Yeah, so. It won't be the last. We'll definitely get one in, you know, sometime later this year. And go more in depth on some stuff, and yeah, man.
Well, that sounds good. Let's go win a cup, so I have an excuse to come back this summer.
There you go.
And then excited to open the building this fall and be back late summer. Let's call it.
Good shit, brother. Thanks again.
Thank you, Tone. Peace out.
Take care. Comb your hair.
Yes, sir.
Peace.
You're welcome. You're welcome.